Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemeny Parish Church. A warm welcome to all who are here, all who are watching live online or on our streaming service, and a warm welcome especially to our friends at Littlewood Court who join us each and every Sunday for worship. We're delighted to have everyone here with us today to worship and praise God. We have a few intimations to share at the start of our time together. First of all, a reminder that this coming Tuesday, the 11th of June, will be the next meeting of our Kirk session at 7:30 p.m. at the Church Center. So if you are an elder and on Kirk session, please do mark your diaries for that time. A reminder, on Sunday, the 16th of June at 6:30 p.m., praise band, that we'll have our next praise evening. It'll be an evening of praise with songs from modern hymn writers Keith and Kristen Getty, and it's always a wonderful time of fellowship and worship at these evening services of praise led by our very able praise band. So please do mark your diaries for that next Sunday evening at 6:30 p.m. here in the church, and we'll have worship and time of fellowship afterwards as well. So please do come along to that. On the Tuesday, 18th of June, have our next meeting of our men's group at 7 p.m. over at the Kemeny Church Center. And our guest of honor and speaker for the evening is Mr. Rob Mackay, who will tell us about the work of Himalayan initiatives in Nepal. And please come along, all interested men, come along and hear about this worthwhile charity. To book your spot, please speak with Mr. Leslie Mackay, the dapper gentleman in the back row. We have many dapper gentlemen back there, so you have to use some discernment, I suppose. Also, to make you aware that there is a special printout available at the back of the church today. It has to do with the recent deliberations and work of the General Assembly, which just met in Edinburgh. And the title of this initiative here is A Radical Assembly. And I think as Anne Brown, who is down at the General Assembly for us this year, can attest, some pretty significant decisions were taken at General Assembly regarding the future trajectory of the church. Is that a fair way of saying it, Anne? Yes, indeed. So this is, I think, a four-page document. I read the online copy, but we have copies in the print for those who would like to read about the decisions and the future implications for those decisions from this last General Assembly. I think I remember reading that the Lord High Commissioner, the Duke of Buccleuch, who was there this year at the closing of the General Assembly, commented that this may be the most significant General Assembly since 1929. 1929 was when portions of the church reunified as the Church of Scotland. And so that's a pretty significant thing. 90 years on, this has been the most significant General Assembly about the future trajectory of the church. So I'd encourage each of us to either look at and read through a print copy of this or to find the resources online for it as well. And please do give it careful and prayerful consideration because it impacts every single one of us. Yes, Anne. Yes, indeed. So, thank you for that. So if you get a copy already of the Life and Works delivered to you, it'll be available in the print there, or we have extra copies here, or it can be found, I believe, online as well. So please do give that consideration. A reminder as well about Christian Aid to please hand in sponsorship money soon and any Smarty Tubes filled with 20 pence and pound coins, I believe, by the end of June. That'd be most appreciated. Also been asked to intimate that at Loaves and Fishes, we have new volunteer opportunities at Loaves and Fishes. And if you have the time, inclination to do so, or the willingness, please speak with Suzanne Bunton, our very able manager at Loaves and Fishes, to make your interest known for that volunteer opportunity. And as we've also intimated throughout the year as well, we are in a new approach of how to do presbytery. We're alternating meetings of business and meetings of support for local congregations, and month by month, different congregations around presbytery have become our, what we call our focus congregation. And over the months of summertime, we will have Howe Trinity in Afford as our focus congregation. And so during this summer months, we pray for the members, the elders, and the minister, our dear friend, Dr. John Cook, of Howe Trinity, as they will grow as disciples of Jesus Christ, knowing him as their Savior, Lord, and friend. So please do prayerfully consider how we might hold them in prayer and perhaps also pay them the occasional visit over the summer as well to show our support and solidarity as members of the same presbytery, and more importantly, as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And also to give you an update, Kylie is still in country. She is now, I believe, down in Ayrshire, touring that grand part of the world with her parents, and she will fly back to North America on Tuesday out of Glasgow International Airport. We certainly keep her in prayer and her mom and dad as they travel back home. And also with that said, it is my delight and pleasure to offer a very warm welcome to Mr. David Hendricks back to these fair shores of Scotland, back to the village of Kemnay. The David is just starting his year with us as parish assistant. So David, we are honored and blessed to have you back with us in our midst. And so let's give David a warm welcome as appropriate. Welcome warmly, David. Glad to have you back. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family at the start of our worship today? With those shared, then, let us enter into worship through the gift of song by singing our first song of praise, which is Come, Let Us Worship Jesus. And during the singing of this song, our offering for God's continued work here in Kemnay and beyond will be uplifted.
Join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bring our prayers of thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for, Lord, despite the terrible news items we hear each day. Let us take a moment, first of all, to give private thanks for something close to our own hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. Father, the recent commemorations of the D-Day landings remind us again of the debt we owe to so many people from that time. We thank you for them all, those who went abroad and did not return, those who returned changed forever in body or in mind, and for those who did not fight because they were doing other vital work at home. Thank you for all they did, in whatever way they did it. May we never take the freedom they won for granted. We pray today for the safety of all of our armed forces and for their commitment to our continued well-being. We thank you for our freedom to worship and pray we never take for granted the ease with which we can come into church and join with our brothers and sisters. We pray for the safety and give thanks for the faithfulness of those who are being persecuted for following you, Lord. We thank you for those who bring your word to us each week, for Joshua, Heather, for Kylie this past year, and now for David as he begins his time with us. We thank you for all who consider ministry, especially for Fiona as she continues her studies and her work in church. You have guided three of our members towards ordination as elders today. We pray they know your presence always. We thank you for all the gifts you bestow on us, Lord, and we bring some of them to you now, not just our money, but our time and our talents as well. We pray all will be used effectively for your work here in Kemnay and beyond. We thank you most of all for your Son Jesus, who dwelt among your people in biblical times and is with us today. And we join now together in the prayer he taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Rita. As Rita mentioned in her prayer of thanksgiving, it is a special privilege and joy today, along with welcoming David back to our shores today, is also a special occasion for two other reasons. One, today is the day that we observe and celebrate the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell afresh upon Jesus' disciples after his ascension into glory, and the Spirit fell upon them, empowering them to speak in multiple languages, to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ in thought, word, and deed. And we as Christians affirm and we believe that this same Holy Spirit is just as active today as it was on that day of Pentecost, falling afresh upon all who call Jesus Lord, to empower them and to guide them in the joyous task of sharing the good news. And in light of that joyful affirmation of the Spirit's presence, we now celebrate today the ordination of three new elders of Kemnay Parish Church. So it's my privilege now to call forward from fittingly within the church family, Joe Black, Irene Reed, and Richard Gray. Please come forward. Time to face the music. Oh, find a contractor. Can you come up front and face me? Yes, indeed. Dearly beloved brothers and sisters, I, as the minister, along with members of the Kirk session of this church and parish, we have judged it proper to add to the number of our elders and the choices guided by the Holy Spirit of Mr. Richard Gray, Mrs. Joel Black, and Mrs. Irene Reed to act with them. And after due notice has been given, no objection has been offered to their life or their doctrine, it now becomes my joyful duty to publicly ordain these three individuals to receive them as members of Kirk's session as soon as they shall have answered satisfactorily the question appointed by the church. So no pressure. But first, let us hear the duties regarding the office of elder within our tradition. The duties of ordained elders are to set the example, by God's grace and help, of a virtuous and godly life, of regular attendance at public worship, to take part with the minister in administering the care and the discipline of the parish, and to represent their brothers and sisters in due course in presbyteries, synods, and general assemblies when commissioned thereto. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is King and Head of the Church, who being ascended on high, hath given gifts to men and to women for the edifying of the body of Christ through his Holy Spirit. We meet here to ordain Richard and Joe and Irene to the office of eldership. And in this act of ordination, the Church of Scotland, of which we are a part, it itself is a part of a greater whole, the Holy Catholic or Universal Church, worshiping one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We affirm anew its belief in the gospel of the sovereign grace and love of God, wherein through Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, incarnate, fully human, fully divine, crucified and risen, he freely offers to all men and all women, upon repentance and faith, the forgiveness of sins and everlasting renewal by the Holy Spirit and life eternal. And we are all called, elder, minister, and lay, to labor in fellowship of faith for the advancement of the kingdom of God throughout the world. And we as members of the Church of Scotland this day do acknowledge the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. We acknowledge the word of God contained in the scriptures in Old and New Testament to be the supreme rule and authority in faith and life. And in light of these declarations now, I address the three of you, and please come forward for answering the question. I don't bite, don't worry. In light of what we have just declared, I now ask you to answer this following question. Richard, Joe, and Irene, do you believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith? Do you promise to seek the unity and peace of the church, to uphold the doctrine, worship, government, and discipline thereof, and to take your due part in the administration of its affairs? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Do you promise to always agree with the minister and tell him how nice he looks as well? Got one. That's wonderful. I would now, I can't help myself. I would now invite members of Kirk Session who are present here in worship today to come forward, if they're so willing, for the laying on of hands upon these three individuals called to the eldership. So give us a few moments for any members of Session. Please come forward as you feel led to lay hands on these three. And those all else can remain where they are and extend the right hand of blessing towards these three as we prepare to ordain them to the eldership. Squeeze in, get cozy. And we lay the hands on them. And if you can't reach them, lay hands on someone who's reaching them. And this should be familiar. We just did this last week. Let us pray. O eternal and ever-blessed God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of your infinite mercy has chosen to yourself a church, which you have ruled by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, and you have used the service of men and women as in preaching your word and administering your sacraments, so also in guiding your flock and providing for the poor. Lord, we commend unto you those whom we now ordain to the office of the eldership, Richard, Joe, and Irene. Endow them anew with your Holy Spirit, that they may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Grant that their entire lives may be in keeping with the office of elder. By your grace, make them pure in heart, unselfish in service, zealous always for the advancement of your kingdom, Lord. And by your Holy Spirit, seal them and keep them faithful to the end, that when the chief and good shepherd shall appear at last, that they may receive a crown of glory that will never fade. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do make this prayer. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, King and Head of the Church, I now declare to you that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have been ordained to the office of the eldership of this church. I admit you to office in this congregation and parish, and I commend you to the grace of God in the working of all your duties. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each of you and abide with you always. Amen. And now we extend the right hand of fellowship to each of you as a sign of welcome. 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 friendly bunch, aren't they? Our appreciation for what God has done in these three people's lives, and we continue to pray for them, of course. And don't forget, session meeting this Tuesday. Go back to your seat. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Every single one of us, however we are called to live, however we are called to serve, our lives do belong to God. So in that spirit of faith, we sing together our next hymn of praise. Take my life, Lord, let it be. I'm going to invite any children who are present to come on down for our children's time. Victoria, if you'd like to come down. Annabelle, there's Samuel and Becca coming down as well. Feel free to come on down and join me on the steps if you like for our children's time. Jill, you can sit down here as well if you'd like. My goodness. Nice to see. How are you all doing today? Annabelle, good. Samuel, okay? Victoria, how are you, dear? You're good? Good. So we are starting today talking about a very important topic, the idea of praying. Have you ever prayed before? Yeah. Why do you think we pray? I'm curious. Why do you think we pray? What's the point of prayer? Why do we pray? What do you think? Any ideas? Who do we talk to when we pray? God. Yeah. Do you agree, Samuel? Do we talk to God when we pray? That's right. So I have some pictures here I'd like to show you now. You can see it up on the screen, hopefully, as well. Is it still connected? Good. So you can see this picture. You can look here on my screen. The rest of the adults can see. What does this look like to you?
A bed.
A bed. That's right. Is it nighttime or daytime? It's nighttime. And so when I was growing up, I was often taught by my parents to say my prayers before bedtime. Do any of you ever pray before you go to bed? It's a very nice habit to have. And you know, sometimes I have to admit, when I was growing up as well, sometimes I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I'd be kind of scared. I had a bad dream. Have you ever had a bad dream before? Yes, indeed, we all have. And sometimes when we have a bad dream, do you know what we can do when we have a bad dream? Next picture. What does this think this is? Praying, that's right. We can pray when we've had a bad dream, and it helps us maybe go back to sleep and to feel better and to know that God is always with us, even when we're scared. So here's the next photo. Does this person look happy or sad? Oh, I would say very, very sad, maybe just on the verge of a meltdown maybe as well. We've all been there too. And so when we're feeling sad and we have tears in our eyes and we're upset, do you know what we can do when we feel sad or upset? Wow, look at that. We can pray then as well. Let's see, next photo. Oh, my goodness. This is how I often feel when I'm working on my thesis as well. But what is this? Does this person look relaxed to you, calm, frustrated, stressed out, anxious? Have you ever been frustrated before? Stressed out? You felt like, oh my gosh, I'm so busy. How am I going to get all of this work done for school? And we're feeling stressed out and worried. We can, you guessed it, we can pray then as well. Let's see, next one. Oh dear, what do you think this person, what do you think of this picture of? That's right. Can you say it louder, Samuel?
When someone's ill.
When someone's ill. Do you agree, Victoria? Yeah, you can tell by the way they're wearing the mask and they're coughing. They don't look like they're feeling well. And along with going to doctors and taking medicine, we can also pray. That's another time we can pray as well when we don't feel well. So here's another one. Does this person look like they're sad or stressed out? That's right. Do you agree, Victoria? Do you agree, Annabelle? Yes, they look very, very happy. And so when we're really happy and things are going well and everything is in our favor, that's also times we can pray as well and give thanks to God when we're happy, when we're celebrating good things happening. Let's see, I think I have one more photo to share. Oh, what is that, do you think? What does that look like? What's happening with the sky? Do you know what that's called?
Sunset.
A sunset. Do you agree? Is that a sunset? Right. Now, is that just any mountain, or does that mountain look familiar to you? It's Benahi as well. Is there a more beautiful sight in our area than sunset around Benahi? It is gorgeous. Do you agree, Victoria? Absolutely. And so when we see the beauty of God's creation all around us, when we are just full of awe and wonder for the wonderful world that God has made, we can guess what we can do then as well? We can pray as well. There are so many times in the Bible when people in the right who wrote the Psalms and other point, they give thanks to God for the wonders of creation. And so the lesson we can take from this, and we're going to be exploring prayer in Explorers appropriately, is that we can always, always pray, whether we're happy, we're sad, we're stressed out, we're sick, when things are going well, we see something beautiful, we see the sunshine or the rain, that every point in our lives is a time when we can pray, when we can talk to God. So speaking of talking to God, would you join me together and repeat after me in a prayer? Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we love you so much.
Thank you for being with us.
We're so glad we can talk to you. When we're happy, when we're sad, when we're sick, when we're healthy, we can always talk to you. Thank you, God, for loving us so much. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your moms and dad now. When we pray, we talk to God. When we pray, we're better able to take our steps of faith and trust Him.
And you'll find that on page 567 of your Bibles. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony, and my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, "Where is your God?" Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. The second reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. And you'll find that on page 1003 in your Bibles. And the reading is from verse 29 in chapter 1. Jesus heals many. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went up to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in the lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his holy word.
Thank you, Sheila. We now sing our next song of praise, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, gathered here now, around your living word, may you truly make each of us channels of your peace, channels of your love, channels of your Holy Spirit. In this time, may you speak to us through your word. In this time, may you make each of us more and more like Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, who is our friend, who is our Savior. We pray these things in his name and for his sake. Amen. Well, let me start by saying that I have just returned from an event called the Abbey Summer School. This is a three-day conference held every June down in Leith. And this year, Heather and I were able to travel to it together. We traveled down to the conference with Fiona Lister. And Fiona, it's so nice to have you back in the praise band. We also traveled down with David Hendricks. David, as I said, nice to have you back in Camden. We're also joined by several friends and colleagues from around Presbytery who made the pilgrimage down to Leith with us. And one of the leaders of the Abbey Summer School told us that they were not surprised that the largest group of people for the Abbey came from Edinburgh, just down the street, right? But what was a great surprise to them was the second largest of group at the Abbey came from Gordon Presbytery here in Aberdeenshire. We had a total, including the leaders who helped, of 10 people just from our one presbytery who went down to the Abbey Summer School. And speaking for myself, my time at this year's Abbey Summer School, which was so ably led by many people familiar to us, especially Matt and Julie Canlis, who used to be based in Methlick here in Aberdeenshire, and it's lovely to see them and their kids. But my time at this year's Abbey gave me a great deal to ponder, and it will take some time for me to fully process and to do a reasonably good job of unpacking all the things I learned while there. It was a very useful, beneficial, a blessing of a time. There's one aspect, speaking for today, of the conference that struck a chord in me. And that was how much time during the Abbey, during these lectures, these plenary discussions, these abbreviated TED Talks that they had and other things, but how much time at the Abbey was given each day to the practice of prayer. Along with regular times of prayer during worship, during quiet times of the day, time on our own, meals shared with others. This year's Abbey Summer School also had people on hand, part of the leadership team, whose sole responsibility was to take time to pray one-on-one with anyone who asked for it. And many attendees of the conference availed themselves of this opportunity for focused prayer. But even before we all traveled down to the Abbey Summer School together, I've recently had several conversations with individuals here in Kemnay and with members of our Kirk session about a spoken desire to have a season in our church where we, as Christians, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, focus together on the topic and practice of prayer. So the broader topic of prayer is going to be our focus for the season of summer. And regardless of the weather, our season of summer will last through August. So let's start with a question. Why is prayer important? Why is prayer important? Because prayer is how we live life with God. Prayer is how we live life with God. If we don't pray, we can't be in relationship with God. And since we need to be in relationship with God, then it follows that we must be people who pray. So to be clear, prayer is absolutely necessary for the Christian life. Prayer is absolutely necessary for our lives. In my work and vocation as a pastor, I have encountered many good-hearted, faithful Christians who would readily affirm both the value and the power of prayer. But quite often, these same good-hearted Christians also treat prayer as something of a last resort in their lives instead of a first line of defense. A last resort instead of a first line of defense. Many well-intentioned Christians treat prayer as something that we ought to do, that we ought to turn to only when life threatens to overwhelm us, only when we are truly afraid that we cannot find the inner strength to face the moment that is at hand. In other words, many Christians only pray when things get truly desperate in their lives. It's not in my notes, but just thinking back to a movie I've watched a few times, a movie that stars Kevin Costner called For Love of the Game, where he plays an aging baseball pitcher. And he's on his way to pitching a fantastic game, but then, as happens with a baseball pitcher, shoulder starts to hurt, starts to lose control of the ball a little bit. And then he stops and he prays while he's on the pitcher's mound. But what he says in the movie is quite striking. He said, "Lord, I promised I would never involve you in a baseball game. I think you have much more important things to do." And yet he still prays. But what struck me was the first part of that as if God can't be bothered with the small things of our lives. We should only reserve prayer for when we really need it, when our arms are giving out, when we can't handle life. Now, I would agree that it is necessary and right to pray when we feel desperate. When we're at our wits' end, that is a good time to pray. But I would say that it's equally necessary, if not more necessary, to pray when things do not feel desperate as well. Let's now consider some of the words from our first reading, which Sheila read for us from Psalm 42. The psalmist starts by saying, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, for water, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Now, I have a couple questions. And raise your hand if this applies to you. Raise your hand if you've ever been ravenously hungry before. Come on, every hand should be up at one point or another. Peter, don't be shy. Saw one finger up. There we go. Every hand should be up. Now, please raise your hand if you've ever been so hungry that it feels like your insides have shut down and you just kind of go numb, but you're still starving, but you just don't feel it anymore. Have you ever felt that kind of hunger before? Some of us have, yeah? Some of us are more proactive and just go to the fridge and get food, and that's fine. But there have been times in my life where I feel that hungry, where first, you know, the tummy starts to growl, then after a while it goes away, but I'm still starving, and boy, oh boy, do I get hangry. Heather can attest to this. Or raise your hand if you've ever been so tired that you can't sleep. Yeah? Okay, much more universal experience. Isn't that the strangest phenomenon? You know you're exhausted. You know what would help you not be exhausted, but you just can't sleep, right? I think that's the kind of hunger, the kind of thirst, the kind of exhaustion, the kind of thirsting, hungering, exhausted, yearning for God that the psalmist is talking about in this passage. But let's be crystal clear. This kind of thirst, this kind of yearning, hunger is not just for the spiritual elite, whoever they might be. I think it's more true to say that every single one of us, every single human being, Christian or not, has some kind of deep soul thirst for God. Even if we aren't directly aware of it, even if we don't know the name of the one who can satisfy our thirst, every single human being has this yearning for God. We hear a lot of stories, don't we, about the decline of the church, but the decline of organized religion does not equal a decline in the human soul thirst for God. In his remarkable book on prayer, the American pastor and author Tim Keller writes the following. Keller writes, "Across Western society, an interest has been growing in spirituality. Meditation, contemplation that began a generation ago," he writes, "perhaps inaugurated by a very highly publicized interest of the Beatles in Eastern forms of meditation and fueled by the decline of institutional religion. Fewer and fewer people," he writes, "know the routine of regular religious services, but some kind of spiritual craving remains." And Keller continues that within the Christian church, there is a strong movement toward ancient meditation and contemplative practices. We now have a small empire of institutions, organizations, networks, and practitioners of what are now called the spiritual disciplines. End quote. And so the outer forms of our spirituality might change, like so-called organized religion. Those who know me best would say I'm a better practitioner of disorganized religion. It's my own personal flaw. The outer forms of our faith might change, how we practice our faith, but the kind of soul thirst for God described by the psalmist does not change. It's part of what makes us human. And this feeling of thirst, of yearning, was beautifully captured for us by St. Augustine of Hippo in his masterpiece, The Confessions, when he wrote, "O Lord, you have made us, you have drawn us to yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." So this thirst, this yearning that we have can only be satisfied by God. And cultivating a life of prayer is the means by which this thirst can be met. We can try as hard as we like and fill our lives with other things, other pursuits, other pleasures, other duties. And we do try, don't we? As human beings, we try to find meaning, pleasure, and purpose in all sorts of things. So much of our economy is built upon the idea that if we just get the next gadget, the next doodad, the next promotion, the next house, the next whatever, that that's when we're going to be satisfied and happy. But do those things ultimately satisfy? No. We get them, and maybe it's a bit of a rush of a pleasure for a while. Then ultimately it fades, it wears out, and then we're on to the next thing, and again and again. Try as we might, only God can satisfy the deepest yearnings of our hearts, our minds, and our souls. Friends, nothing else will do. And so we need to pray. The psalmist also compares his thirst for God, and I love this phrase, and Heather helped me to see this last night, compares it to the thirst of a deer panting for the water. I've never seen a deer pant, but I bet it's something. And unlike another animal, say like a camel, which seems to be built for endurance in countries with very little water, I think we can agree that a deer, you picture a deer in your mind for a second, a deer is more delicate and more fragile. And a deer cannot survive very long at all without water. And come to think of it, neither can we. And so we need to pray like a deer needs to drink water. And in today's passage from Mark's gospel, we encounter Jesus right in the midst of his very busy ministry. After his baptism and temptation in the wilderness, because Mark's narrative moves at a rapid pace, right after his baptism and temptation, Jesus calls his first disciples, and then Mark tells us he did not waste any time. Chop, chop, get to work. He healed a man with an unclean spirit. He healed many others, including Peter's mother-in-law. And the text tells us he healed all who were sick and oppressed by evil spirits. But in the midst of all this amazing, life-changing, transforming work, the narrative in Mark's gospel takes an unexpected shift, and I'll read that part again. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed, went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him and said, "Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went through all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. So do we hear the first verse that I just read? And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed, went out to a desolate, a lonely place, and there he prayed. Mark has this very interesting style. One of our teachers from Whitworth calls this the Mark sandwich, where Mark has one passage, and then another passage, and then another passage, but it's the middle passage that's really the key to understanding it. So we have healing story, prayer, healing story. But the key to understanding these healing stories is right here in the middle, the time that talks about Jesus going away to the desolate place to pray. That's the key right there. That Jesus had the most important mission on earth. We can agree on that, yes? Yes? Thank you. But he still took time to pray. In fact, I think we can say it was because of the enormity and the importance of his work that Jesus had to take time to pray. As one who was fully God and fully human, Jesus also felt this soul thirst for his heavenly Father. The words of the psalmist, "So my soul longs after you," surely Jesus himself felt that. And so he had to take time to pray. And if Jesus, the Son of God, incarnate in flesh, with the most important mission on earth, had to take time to pray, what does that say about our lives? What do we need to do? We need to take time to pray. We really need to take time to pray. There's a story I love about a monk who, in his daily rhythms of life, he would take time to pray for 30 minutes every day without fail. And when this monk had an exceptionally busy day, he prayed for an hour. Too busy not to pray. And the more that life throws our way, the more we need to pray. The more that life throws our way, the more we need to pray. Whether we know it or not, whether we feel it or not, every single one of our souls is thirsting for the living God. This yearning for God is at the very foundation of who we are as human beings, as Christians, as followers of Jesus. So in his own life, Jesus' own perfect, sinless example gives us permission. I love this. He gives us permission to pause from our busyness and to be refreshed through the practice of prayer to God. Jesus gives us permission to not always be busy doing, but to take time to be with God in prayer. We need to pray. We simply can't do without it. And if you're here today, or if you're watching live or on our catch-up service, and you're sitting there thinking, but I don't know how to pray. I'm not good at praying. First, I would say, welcome to the club. And second, I would say, take heart. Because right now, wherever we are at, whether we are a prayer warrior, a prayer beginner, somewhere in between, this is the best time to learn. Wherever we are at in our lives, God is always waiting to teach us anew about being in relationship with Him. It is not too early. It is not too late. So let's make this journey together this summer, shall we? This summer, let's learn more about prayer together. Let's learn again to pray together. Let's look forward to deepening our life with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together. Let's pray. Loving Father, we are so grateful for the chance to be here, gather together as your people, from every walk of life, from different parts of this village, of this shire. You have called, claimed, and redeemed each of us as your own precious child. And together, you have called us to be the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, here on earth. We pray in this time that you would give each of us, as we start this journey over the summer, a renewed interest and passion for prayer. Over these next several weeks, teach each of us, truly, Lord, how to live with you, how to pray to you. Help us to learn how to speak to you. Help us learn how to listen to you. Help us to learn how to pray with others, for others. This summer, we pray this would be a new beginning for each of our prayer lives. We ask for your blessing upon this time, Lord. We need your help so very much to become people of prayer. May it be so. Amen. We need God's help, His Holy Spirit, to help us become people of prayer. And so we sing, and we pray together now as we sing, that God would purify our hearts and draw us closer to Him.
I don't know about you, but I'm always losing things. Always. And it's only after I've searched for a while, somebody very close to me will say, "Did you pray about it?" It's a simple thing, but it always works. Let's bring our prayers for the world. Let's pray. Our Father, as we bring our prayers for the world before you, we first of all thank you for the way you have blessed our nation. As we've been reminded this past week, we are thankful for the way you blessed us throughout the Second World War. We realize that a great sacrifice has been paid by so many, and as a result, we recognize that we now live in a relatively stable environment. Lord, we are blessed in a great many ways. So we thank you for our families, for the houses and the homes we live in, our village, our jobs, and the public services we enjoy. Unlike many countries, we enjoy a certain amount of political stability, even though our government appears from time to time to be in turmoil. We pray for our politicians when they have difficult decisions to make. We pray particularly for the government who have the difficult task of choosing a new leader. We pray that the elected Prime Minister might be able to lead in a way that is acceptable to people of all political persuasions. Father, there are many countries which have different and in many cases greater needs than ours. And we pray for the people of these lands. We continue to pray for the people of Syria, where cities and towns have been razed to little more than dust. Help the Syrians, we pray, that they might be able to rebuild after so many years of bloodshed and turmoil. We pray for the people of Yemen. We particularly pray for the children of that country who are starving at this time. We pray that international aid might be quickly made available to them. We pray for Christians in Laos, that they might be able to meet together safely without fear of persecution. Our Father, we thank you that for us in Britain, we have freedom to worship where and when we wish. And we pray that this will continue. Lord, we know that you hear our prayers and ask you to answer them as you will. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thank you, Adam. Friends, if we ever find ourselves wondering how to pray, what to pray for, we need only to look to the example of Jesus Christ. Christ is our light, and so we sing that hymn now as our closing song of praise to the Lord. each and every one of us has a deep soul thirst for God. And this thirst can only be met by living life with God through prayer. So go forth from this place, and may prayer become the true foundation for each of our lives with God. May prayer become the true foundation for all that we say, think, and do, for how we live in this world as disciples of Jesus Christ. And may the blessing, strength, and encouragement of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may these rest upon each of us and upon all who we love this day and forevermore.